Hey, it's a startup podcast. I'm Dan Vonderhyde. These are conversations with Louisville entrepreneurs. I try to do it once a week. I do it on Tuesday. Bring you something new and different, a conversation with somebody who's working in and on a startup, or somebody who's investing in a startup, or somebody who's educating startup people. I'm going to zig and zag on you a little bit here toward the end of the year. I've already said I'm not going to put up a podcast on December 25th. It's Christmas Day. I'm going to lay low. I'm going to drink plenty of eggnog. I'm going to eat plenty of pumpkin pie or whatever is within arm's reach of me. And today I'm actually going to do a very special startup replay with Todd Earwood, who was one of the first podcasts that I did so early on, in fact, that I don't think it's gotten the listenership that it really deserves. Todd is a smart guy, and I've known him since, 2008 or something? I met him along with Rob May when they were business partners, and we worked on a couple of projects together, and he figured out that pretty early on that Todd's an early adopter of trends. He turned me on to Facebook and turned me on to Twitter and all of this before really anybody was jumping on it locally. So he sees what's coming down the road and tries to head that off. And he's really found a hit with Try It Local. And that's what we focus most of our attention on in this podcast. We talk about plenty of other things, and I know that you're going to get a ton of stuff out of it. Todd's a super likable guy, and I'm glad to have had him in. I had him in early, and I think everybody should hear this. So I want to replay it now that I have a slightly larger audience than I did when I first started. I will say it's nearly an hour long, but it's well worth it. So please stick around to the end. I could use your help with something else. I'm just curious. I need to do a little bit of market research. If you are listening to the podcast and you care to give me some feedback, I've put a link up to a SurveyMonkey at danvonderhyde.com. It's quick. It's 5 questions. It'll take you 30 seconds to do. I'm just interested to know a little bit about who is listening, what they do, and that type of thing. Eventually, I'm going to have to get this thing sponsored, so I got to have a story to tell with that. So if you don't mind to swing by danvonderhyde.com and look for that link, that'd be very helpful. If you yourself are interested in podcasting, I'm interested in talking with you about that. Anything that has to do with the Louisville, I like to keep it local. Email me at, I'm going to change the address on here, danvonderhyde@live.com. I'm just curious to see who's out there and what they're interested in, and if they feel passionate enough about something in Louisville, they are interested in hosting a weekly show on it. I'm just curious. I just want to talk to you. And as always, I prefer you listen to the Startup Podcast in the Stitcher Radio app. It's available for Apple, Android, and webOS devices. You can download it at stitcherradio.com. No further delay with Todd Earwood from Try It Local. I guess we should talk about
what
you.
What are we going to talk about today?
I prepared questions.
Oh, wow. Good.
And you have to correct me if I'm wrong on anything.
That's true.
You guys, Try It Local. You're just over a year, right?
Almost 2 years now.
Almost two?
Yeah, it's over a year and a half now. It's been almost 2 years since we've been live.
And it's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Gangbusters, would you say?
We have
grown. That's a descriptive name.
We've grown really, really fast.
Are you surprised by that? Or is this something like, when you're projecting out, when you started this seed of an idea, did you say, okay, by this time, by a year and a half in, we're going to be in this many markets? Or is that sort of wow, look where we are sort of thing?
Initially, no, it was let's just test the theory. Could this work? And from there, we said, okay, we tried to find the ceiling and the floor. Like, what's the largest city we could go into and what's the smallest town we could go into? And we found those.
Okay.
And then we were trying to break the model. Like, okay, this was too big and this was too small. Scoot in. Got it.
Okay, you found your sweet spot.
Found the sweet spot, and then we just hammered.
So every market in between there.
So then we just said, we got it. Now we'll do 100 cities in 12 months right now.
Okay. So you did set that goal.
So we did have that goal, and we far exceeded that.
Oh, good. Okay.
So, yep. And we have, which would be interesting, I've not talked to anyone. I mean, I've talked to a couple of friends and my investors know. So we raised money from New York and from Louisville. And that was critical to grow that fast.
Just for hiring people or for technology or
both? Really, to essentially say, you know, the way these tech investors look at it is I care about the top line, not the bottom line. You need to show me growth in sales and growth in cities and network size, because we looked at cities as a network of that we could market other products to. So we said, okay, let's build a network as fast as possible and then cram down the channel other things, so including daily deals.
Okay.
And so we did that, and but they don't care about the bottom line. So you can lose money.
For how long? I mean, there's a time where they're going to go, okay, now.
You'd be surprised. If they see enough top-line growth, they'll keep throwing the money at you.
Okay.
It's weird. It's just not what you would think of for basic.
Tell me about that process. Like, you had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Groupon came along, and and even when I saw it, I was like, oh, my gosh, dude, that's genius. And we were even, you know, in the radio business, we had done sort of, we were half price deals, but the money part was different. Like, we would go out and we would do trade for these certificates. They never saw any cash.
I know.
We kept all the money.
I know that.
So and so we kind of got it half right, and this was in the early 2000s. So we stopped thinking about it. And then you guys come along and you're thinking up these other. I was like, oh, it's just like, that's just the missing piece. We could have revolutionized the, you know, chain of commerce if we just would have kept thinking about it. But
yeah, so we have changed, Dan. We're not recording yet, correct?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, great. Awesome. This feels good. So we have now launched the second product because we have a network. So the first product was Daily Deals, as you've seen it, right?
Right, correct.
I
still have one yet to use.
Use them. Well, good news is you probably have some time left. The bad news is, you know, 7 out of 10 people use them. You're 30% never do.
Okay.
So that the merchants like that too.
I'm sure they do.
So
70% is even stronger than what I've heard.
Yeah. Like, so on average is 70%.
Okay.
That's kind of universal for daily deals. Gift cards are worse, but daily deals are typically around 70%, even with Groupon, Living Social. So you know, now we originally saw the ascension of Groupon. I'd built some software for chambers of commerce and membership associations, and I was doing that, and my company lived inside the Chamber of Commerce's office here, GLI, on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually shared office space with them.
And you don't anymore?
I do not anymore.
I guess I still thought you did.
They didn't have enough seats to fill my people.
Nice problem to have.
So it was like, well, guys, we're going to move in. And so for a while we had like half of our company at GLI and half our company on the first floor below Watson on Baxter.
Oh,
so
really?
This little crappy little hole.
Yeah.
And then, so that was bad. So finally we got an office and everybody's there. So long story short, we saw the ascension of Groupon, and I'm sitting inside the chamber office, and we're in these meetings talking about, you know, recruitment of new members for them and retention. And even though I'm a technology consultant to that company, I'm not an employee of the chamber, I got to know them. That was almost 8 years of me having my company live inside the chamber. So I knew them really well. I had this wonderful relationship.
What was the name of that company?
InfoMinded.
Okay. Gotcha.
So then
there's a lot of companies under your resume.
There's a few companies there, yeah. So I saw the opportunity and said, well, hold on. I see Groupon going up. I see, you know, in a recession, small businesses especially start to reevaluate where they can cut
Tell
money.
Me about it. Yeah.
And so they cut advertising dollars. They cut membership association dollars.
Mm.
I mean, that's an easy thing to cut for them. They're not going to turn off their phone. They're not going to turn off their electricity. But I don't have to advertise is a bad way of looking at it. And they also think, well, the chamber doesn't do a whole lot for me, so I'll just cancel. And that's not a great way to look at it either. But that's what they do. So we simply said, okay, if Groupon, and you'll appreciate this, on May 3rd, 2010 is when I fully committed to this idea, because Groupon ran a deal for Maker's Mark Lounge. And I knew Maker's Mark Lounge at the time had not done any discounts, none. And when I found out from the folks over at Maker's Mark that, because they license out their name, it's some other company really operates
the
restaurant. But if you're associating your name now with a discount, because a lot of brands are like, I would never discount, right?
Right.
So I always thought, well, the market's small for a Groupon. But then I went, okay, hold on. They didn't even have a local rep. With a telemarketer, they called from Chicago and got into Maker's Mark Lounge, convinced them to do this deal, sold 400 and some odd in one day.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. And so then the light bulb went off for me that said, hold on, this is Maker's Mark's running a deal. They never run a deal. They've never discounted. But that means they need customers. And it's a financial transaction. It says, okay, I'll give up this much money to get you in the door because hopefully I'll convert
you. You're going to come back.
Right. So, but it really occurred to me that it's odd that the Chamber of Commerce, Bill Samuels was the chairman of the board previously for the chamber. He was also on their annual capital campaign, he was the chairman of that the year before. And I'm going, okay, they are super duper connected to Maker's Mark and to Rob Samuels. And so how in the world?
Along with how many other hundreds or thousands of additional business.
So I'm thinking, hold on, if they can get into a company that will not decrease their brand by doing discounting, who else will do this? And so I just started testing it, and I really started tracking Groupon. I had already been looking at them pretty intensely, but then I went, okay, if they can get them and they never put feet on the street, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
So all I did was, in the next 43 days, just sit down and write code, and I built the tech platform with another guy, and we built the tech platform, and I didn't tell the chamber I was doing it. I just called 8 people in a room and said, I'd like to talk to you about how you're going to make tens of thousands of dollars this year.
Bold.
And here's the PowerPoint, because you have to put a PowerPoint together to make a decision, because how else would a company ever make a decision without a PowerPoint?
Without a PowerPoint. So we discovered Prezi around here. We do like Prezi.
Prezi's awesome. Yeah. Much better than PowerPoint. But I gave a PowerPoint and just said, guys, here's Groupon. You may or may not really know them. Most people knew of them at that time, but this is still June of
2010, right?
2010. Yeah. So still pretty early. Like, none of the media companies were doing daily deals then. Like, this was still only two players in the little market.
They were doing it with the current model.
Correct. Right.
They were doing it
now
as
they're
I
just
had
seize the deal, and all these guys are just straight up knockoffs.
Right.
Straight up.
We have chosen not to enter that marketplace.
Maybe
wisely, maybe not. I made up my mind.
I think when you hear from the rest of our discussion today, I think you'll think that's a good move.
Oh. So, thank you for validating me today,
yes,
Todd Earwood.
You will be glad you didn't. So, long story short, set them down and said, here's the deal, guys. You have something that no other company really has in Louisville, and that is you have connections to an immense amount of business owners. You know this already. It's really the biggest asset of your organization.
And that's an email they're going to open, too. Like, if you get an email from your chamber that you're paying money to, you have immediate attention.
And so
if you get it from some stranger at Seize the Deal or whatever it is, that's a very small.
You're just an ad rep.
Right.
You're just an ad rep slinging something or a salesperson. So I thought just that right there. Okay, the chamber, you put it as a chamber program, and then we branded it as Try It Local because the idea of being in every market, we would be perceived as being in Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Right.
Or Grand Haven, Michigan. And that worked. Like, it was shocking. They would call the 1-800 number, and they would be like, oh, my, where are you guys? And, of course, when you're working, like, in Cape Cod or in Maine or in New York, and someone from Louisville answers the phone, they pretty much
what
quickly
do you mean
figure,
we're in Worcester?
That's right. Pretty quickly you realize I'm not in Worcester. So, we built it out, and we found the ceiling, and we found the floor. We then found the sweet spot, and we raised $1 million, and then we just hammered.
You just kind of glossed over, hey, we raised $1 million. Like,
it wasn't that easy, but of course.
Okay, well, you don't have to get into the whole process and how. I don't know if we're going to have time for that, but I mean, one of the things that our esteemed listeners might draw from this is, hey, man, I've got an idea, and I don't know what to do with this. Like, what's the next step? So that's why I kind of want to talk to guys like you who have done the next step and can shed some light on, assuming they're not going to be a competitor of yours.
And even then, like, this is a big, big, big space. So I think just in general, the one thing we did was I went past the idea phase and showed some traction. And I said, hey, I'm already doing this. It's already kicking out some revenue. We're losing money, but we're not losing a ton of money because it's pretty lean operation. I don't need 500 people. I don't need to hire 500 people to be successful here.
Yeah.
That was very attractive to investors because that means it could scale. And they want to see things that scale without hiring 500 people. Because 500 people means it's hard to recruit, hard to retain, expensive.
Yeah.
Churn, you know, people leave.
Benefits alone. I mean,
all that. Yeah, I mean, just that investors want to see, especially tech investors, they want to see something that scales. and they want to see that you have some level of expertise, is you're the right guy or gal to do this. And so I felt like a pretty compelling story to say, I've lived inside a chamber of commerce for 8 years, and if you put me in any room with any chamber person in America, I can speak their language.
So all the other stuff that you have on your LinkedIn profile, daily idea, you guys were doing the video pages thing when I met you.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff feeds into what you're doing today. So count them up for me. Like
seven.
Seven things that you did prior to Try It Local.
That's right.
That you
killed.
Maybe were successful in but decided to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Or just were like, this isn't working, or maybe there's a better idea. So there's some encouragement there for people who are like, look, this is not a one and done sort of situation. So.
No, I think that's right. I think I'm always the wrong guy to talk to about entrepreneurial venture, because I'll encourage you to do it.
Well, this interview's over.
What I won't do is tell you to quit your job and risk your entire family's livelihood on a dream. I think there's ways to step into things. And I think the number one problem I think is that, entrepreneurs need to find a problem to solve. And if you can find this problem needs to be solved, and here's how we're going to make money from it, right? Mm-hmm. If you can say, and the final piece, of course, being I'm the right guy or gal. And if I'm the right person to do this because of XYZ experience, or because I'm dreamt up this awesome idea and look how awesome I am at it, I would say number one is to solve a problem and go find somebody who says, you know what? I agree. I do have that problem and I would like it solved. And I would even pay you for it. So then just find, how much would you pay for it?
I had Ben Keaton in here.
I like Ben.
And we were talking along these similar lines and talking about being the right guy for the job.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, there are investors who may have a different idea of who the right guy for the job is. It doesn't necessarily mean they're, you're not going to be a part of your own idea. But if they're going to give you the money, you may have to take a diminished role if you're willing to do that. You don't have to do it.
That's
right. But if you want the money, and that's really kind of you see that every week on Shark Tank. They're like, hey, I'll give you the money, but I want 75% and I want to put this guy. So.
And I think that there's a correlation to just investment philosophy. There's a lot of, the guys that are behind our company, they don't, sure, if I were to give them more shares and have majority ownership, then they would love to have it. But they don't, and they didn't because I had a compelling story and I had traction. And it was like, look, this train – now, if they had invested in an earlier stage when it's an idea and they're just taking a full-blown risk that someone never may pay for my idea, then, yes, I would probably not – they would probably own the majority of the company. But I waited. And so, again, that was money out of my pocket because I was waiting and waiting and waiting and trying to prove it out and go, okay – the lesson I learned there is there's never a perfect time to raise money.
Yeah.
And once you start raising, never stop. So I'm in fundraising mode right now. Always be fundraising.
I've put all my money into brackets.
I mean, it's going to
pay off for me, baby, this week.
That's right. That's right.
So pick Murray State to go all the way.
You got
to
pick Murray State. at least one round. I'm hopeful for three. But so I think the key is to solve a problem, find someone to pay you for it. And if you can find those two things, people will get interested. So then they usually talk about,
then the rock starts rolling downhill at that point.
That's right.
Okay.
I wouldn't even, if you have to, just to get a baseline of having someone say, I would pay you this much, even if you say, well, I'd pay you $250 a month for that. Okay, great. I'll do it for you for $100 if you'll let me intensely track the results of us working together, because I need a testimonial. And I need you later down the road, probably for investors or for future customers,
sure,
to go, Dan was my first customer, and we tracked everything he did, and look what the awesome outcomes were.
Yeah, cool.
His problem was solved. And if you can show that, then that's what we did.
It seems so simple when you know what I mean?
Well,
I know it's not, because the day-to-day stuff and personalities and tech problems or whatever.
Yeah, I think we were super low-tech. This was duct tape and bubble gum. I'm not a programmer. I'm just dangerous enough to get in there and play around.
Okay.
So I took it to as far as I could, had to pay a part-time developer to come in and kind of finish it off because I was beyond my skill set. But, this thing was rigged. It was completely rigged. And
well, most prototypes are.
Yeah, so it didn't matter.
It was a prototype.
Right. Yeah. Now, the other problem I think entrepreneurs have is they try to get it perfect. I want the most perfect, beautiful, elegant software platform or product. It doesn't matter. Like, if you're solving a problem, I mean, what we found was we ran our very first deal on July 6, 2010. And
for?
That day was 5 for 20. You paid $5 to get 20 at Brownings.
Yes,
which is
and
now
I bought
against
I
the
bought.
Grain. Yeah. So we had no idea, Dan, what we were doing. We really didn't. But we ran this great deal.
Can I have my $5 back?
Send out the email. Hopefully you got your food instead. So we did, we ran that deal, and that day our page load times were above 45 seconds. It took you 45 seconds to load a page because our servers were getting crushed by the traffic. Because we had no idea if this thing was going to work. Well, guess what? It was.
Yeah.
So I'm screaming on the phone to the hosting company going, please, God, just whatever it takes.
God was on the other. He works for the hosting company?
Yes, a strong hosting company. So in the cloud. We turned up the noise. I said, turn it up. So, but, I mean, it was crappy. We had this horrible 8-step checkout process, and we couldn't stop consumers from buying these deals. So
did you get were people complaining? Were they like, dude, this is ridiculous? Or were they just like happy to have $20 for $5?
That's exactly
right. It's
that
much of a problem that you solved. Oh my gosh, I can have quesadillas for pennies on the dollar.
So, but see, now on the other side, what we did, we said, Brownings, we need you to intensely track what you're the very first business. We need you to track every single person that comes in, how much they spend, what's the true ROI. And so we had great testimonials from them. It was really wonderful to then pull out. So then after a month, we go, guess what, Chamber? You made this much money. And we paid the businesses, the local businesses in Louisville this much money.
Sure.
So then that was a very compelling thing because now if you're a Chamber member, I mean, you're paying the Chamber annual dues. Suddenly the Chamber program's paying you.
Yeah, right.
And you're making money off your Chamber membership. That's crazy talk. So, and the Chamber liked it. We liked it. And that evolved. I mean, like I said, we raised the money, and we raised the money on the principle of this is scalable, we have the right team to do it, and we've proven it works. And that's really the gist, coupled with this is a booming industry. Look where it's going, and it's a lot easier to run down a paved road. I mean, we weren't solving cancer here. I mean, we were selling coupons. And it's easy to run down a paved road that Groupon Living Social are laying down the asphalt, sure. And we're just running behind them as fast as we can.
Right.
That was a lot different. Yeah.
Booming industry. That's 2010. Where are you in 2012? You alluded to something.
Yeah, so we have we've seen a lot of growth. Our goal is to get to 100 cities by December of 2011. We had 109 signed up and a waiting list of 150.
Why are they on a wait? Does it take a while to get them set up and have to process them?
Because then we realized, okay, what we thought was the sweet spot, there's also other criteria that really make good customers. So not all customers, or in this case Chambers, are created equally. So we started realizing we get your interest and we educate you on here's how the program works, we would say, if you have this resource, and this resource, if you can do these three things, then you will be successful. Now, if you can't, we need to wait until you can.
Okay.
And so if you can't dedicate the right amount of time or personnel to this, we know it will not work. So in certain markets of our 109, they were not working. I mean, it's like the 80-20 rule. I mean, you're still getting the bulk of our revenue was coming from a subset of our cities. But it was it took a while, as you can imagine, to figure that out. I mean, it got to the point where we were adding about 1.5 cities a day. Every day we'd sign up almost 2 cities. So it was like, it was insane. Forward.
That's a good vibe around the office when that sort of thing is going on.
We think bells are for wusses. So we bought a gong. So you could ring a gong if you sign up a city. And it was loud in our office for a while. So we're always ringing the gong, which is awesome. So fast forward to 2012 now, right? Groupon has gone public. Living Social has raised an immense amount of money. Looks like they're going to hold off and go in public. And what we found in the fourth quarter of last year was we have created a machine to sign up these new cities, these new chambers. But since not all of them are created equally, we need to figure out how what else we can do, because we have a big network now. We have a really large, like if we wanted to get into these cities and sell Yellow Pages advertising, we could. Because through the chamber, we knew we could reach north of 200,000 small businesses. So that was pretty powerful. So what we discovered and what we're doing now is we're actually took the very same Daily Deal software, which has luckily been rewritten since I duct taped it together. Right. We've rewritten.
Well, you got to do something with $1 million.
That's right. So it ended up being 1.25 million is what we ended up taking total. So 1.25.
To date.
Yeah. That round's done. So if it's
okay,
it will be in a new round of investment. If we go again, but that's done. But to date, 1.25. So now we took the very same software, which is not being done today by many people at all. And we're selling it as a SaaS product directly to small businesses, saying, you know what? Run your own deals and keep 100% of the money.
And that's a natural progression. It really, yeah.
And then if you have an audience, maybe you have a Facebook page with 500 fans. Maybe you have an email list of 600. If you have a way to paste a link to where it would go to a deal page and people can buy, guess what? We're pretty good at handling transactions. We're pretty good at generating vouchers that customers can carry in. Oh, and we also have it for every mobile device imaginable. So,
got my Windows phone.
There you go.
Do you have it on for Windows phone? I'm not kidding.
It's mobile. We have the mobile browser will work. We don't have a Windows app.
All right.
But I'm a little
sensitive about that.
I'm sure you are. you probably should be too.
Hey now.
We didn't know anybody had built Windows mobile apps at the time, to be honest with you. I looked at BlackBerry, too, and it was really hard to find those.
Oh, really? Huh?
Yeah. Nice. So anyways, that's now like the progression for us as a company. And really our industry is daily deals. Actually, people bash them a lot, but they actually can be a financially profitable thing for businesses to do. If you have capacity and the right price points.
You do. I mean, you read horror stories about everything, but. You know, the lady in London who sold all the cupcakes, and there's no way she could have, and she made lost money on a dozen cupcakes. Like, but you know, there's a point where somebody needed to advise her. This is not the right.
And that's where either the local sales rep failed and didn't say it,
or telemarketer,
telemarketer. But Groupon, you know, is probably the most synonymous for doing that. Living Social, a little less, but I think you know that is the evolution of our company. Is now taking our software, and obviously we've added more features to it, but taking that in the direction of a SaaS model, so software as a service, we get a monthly fee guaranteed. So now, as opposed to running Dan's Bagel Shop, where we don't know how many deals you're going to sell in Hot Springs, Arkansas tomorrow because we're not in Hot Springs and we don't know anything about it. I mean, you're the third best or the 33rd best bagel shop there. We do not know.
Right.
I mean, Yelp tells us some things and Urban Spoon, but we really don't know the dynamics of that. And sees the deal, and Hot Springs may have just ran a deal for another cup, you know, another bagel shop last week. So that's a real challenge, and so that's why you're seeing daily deal sites fall off. I think the media daily deal sites will move on to their next shiny object.
Sure,
and this will be something they tried and it worked for a while, and then they'll move off. But that's for us. That's the new model, and it is. It's fun. It's really fun because now to show, again, we went back to the same principles, though, Dan. When you start something, we go, okay, let's solve a problem.
Solve a problem.
Let's find somebody who'll pay us for this. We found somebody, and we go, okay, are they one in a million?
Now, what else will they pay us for?
Yeah. Or
I mean, that's the next logical question.
Yeah,
right.
Can I sell them more things? And are they the only one? Is this problem big enough for other people? Or am I going to have a market size of...
Hey, do you have a sister? Hey.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing, and it's fun.
What a great story. I mean, I'm glad after 7 shuttered companies for you to be... And it said, it was very clearly on your LinkedIn profile, which is the fount of knowledge for all, that Try It Local is your passion.
Yeah.
And but tech has been kind of something that you've stuck with. But if you, this is really a hypothetical.
Oh.
Put all of that aside.
Mm-hmm.
If Todd Earwood take another industry, another business in the non-tech sector, What do you think you would be? This is just kind of getting a look into your personality.
Yeah, I think I've been on this kind of high-tech.
Murray State sports merchandise?
No. there's other things. There's lots of little ideas I've tried that I never really would, I would call a business. They've never made my LinkedIn profile. I mean, there's tons of stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I don't know that I would do a non-tech venture.
Oh, okay.
I can't imagine some. I would never own a retail store. I've tried that once. I was a partner in one. I don't like inventory and products. I can't imagine me building a device. It's just not really me. So, I would say I probably would not do a non-tech venture.
I totally hypothetical.
Sure,
tough question.
I don't think I could do it.
I gotta whip through these things.
Sorry, man.
No, it's great. You've done, when I met you, you and Rob were working together on any number of things.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are friendly.
Very much
we're
so.
We're friends before.
Still are. We talk several times a week.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I miss Rob.
I do too.
Enjoyed having coffee with him frequently.
He's great.
Business, going into business with a friend. Obviously, you've done it. You believe in it. Have you had good luck with that? Is it something you would advise against?
So I have, in all these little weird businesses that you found on LinkedIn, I have owned a business with my brother and a childhood friend. I've owned business with Rob, several businesses with Rob. Rob and I even had a third party once, and we owned a business with, and that did not go well. Rob and I had our differences. The one thing we figured out was the way we kind of, our management style was, okay, if this is in your area, if the question or the debate is around this issue in this area, well, guess what? It's Todd's decision ultimately. In this area, I'll give it up to Rob. And it was an easy split and say, that's the two houses and we live in. And ultimately, Rob's better at this and Todd's better at that. And that was easy. Now, if it's in the middle, it kind of got weird. But, you know, if you –
you got a pig have that. Or horse just working
that's
out.
That's right. Rock, paper,
working
scissors.
Out on the court.
That's right. So I don't think – I think it's fine. I think the key parts – I've owned a different business with a different friends and software – so I think the critical part is defining clear roles. I'm going to do X, and you're going to do Y. Because I think the hardest...
What if they don't think you're doing X?
That's the hardest part. Yeah. So then get it down on paper. And as bad as that sounds, you got to document like... Okay,
if I could do that with my wife, I would.
Well, that'd be a big document.
I do like not sleeping on the couch.
That's right. So I think if you can document not so much... And sometimes it gets really clear, and in the tech world, it gets really clear, like, oh, you're a programmer, you're going to write code, I'm a non-technical guy, I'm going to do this,
And I'm the idea guy, I'm going to be over here having ideas.
You can have ideas. I think if you just define this is what you're going to do, the hardest part when you're dealing with friends or family is what if someone doesn't pull their weight? So if you ever sit down with a lawyer or an accountant, they will tell you, we have to plan for that day.
Okay.
And so...
You're getting a lawyer and an accountant.
I mean,
up front.
I don't think you would need to get that far initially. I would literally just outline. Okay, here we are. Either I'm going to be. Hey, you've got a full time job. I don't. So I'm going to be the main person pouring my time into this. So maybe since I'm going to give the most hours into it and you can't, cool. I'm going to own 60% of this and you're going to own 40 or whatever. Make that up.
And if you can't get that stuff worked out ahead of time, then it's a bad idea to do
it.
It
really
in the first
is.
Place.
So what happens is people get weird when there's money involved. So suddenly if you do find success, guess what? You're going, hold on, I may have had a job, but I gave it my all.
Yeah.
Well, you gave it your all, but you still had a 9-to-5 and I could only get you to come after dinner and sit down and work with me because you have a family and now it's 7 o'clock. And I mean, that gets weird and it gets conflicting. So I would say outlining things just on a simple piece of paper that says, here's what we're agreeing to, and this is just kind of rainy day, worst-case scenario. If something bad were to happen, if Dan gets hit by a car, he can't just take the shares of the company and give them to his wife, and suddenly I'm dealing with his wife who doesn't know anything about technology,
sure.
And that happens too. So lawyers will take you far down the road. I just think if it's friends and family, just have a simple agreement, and the agreement is literally listing things on a page.
I would think it when things go well, it would be one of the most rewarding things. Like, did this with my brother. I did this with my buddy. It's awesome. Like, you know, the celebrations are even sweeter because you have that sort
it
of
most certainly
long-standing
is.
Familiarity.
It was, you know, when I started Try It Local, I had employees because we already built some software for other, you know, other things. But I didn't have a Rob or my brother in the business then. So
maybe that's why it was successful.
I don't think that's it. But not having a co-founder was different for me because I'd really done a lot of things with someone else, and this was by myself.
Was that your comfort zone, like working with other people? So you had a sounding board and
I most certainly I need a sounding board, and I have that with ironically now with a couple investors.
Okay.
So I don't, and of course I still call Rob all the time, and he calls me, and sometimes we call each other and joke and go, why did we ever sign up for this? This is insane. Like, nobody in their right mind would want to do this. And then we just snap out and say, okay, it's pretty fun. But I think for me, yeah, I'm the kind of guy that's a co-founder, or I need a sounding board. And luckily I have that now with investors.
A lot of people I know would gladly accept a check to be a sounding board. That, hey, there you go. I'm going to write one down.
Okay.
I'm a professional sounding board.
Do that. The difference I do is I'll take your money.
I can solve a problem for you if you're willing to pay me for it.
I don't pay them for it. I merely take their money.
Oh, God. Oh.
I put it in the bank account, and I give them shares of the company, and then you have to accept my calls when I need counseling.
Charlie Sheen would call that buy winning. What's your overall take on the startup environment in Louisville, the community? Is this a place where it's healthy, you would say, operating for new business?
Absolutely. I think you have to take a little bit of Todd Earwood's thoughts on this with a grain of salt to a degree, because I have been, if you look through my lens, I've seen all the things of successful large businesses through the Chamber of Commerce. I've seen small businesses grow and die through the Chamber of Commerce, and being in that office, Enterprise Corp was in the same office as me, so I got to see who was getting funded for 8 years. So I had a bird's eye view for 8 years, seeing some of the fastest growth companies and the biggest when UPS came to town. And I mean, some of the biggest and best things that have happened in our community, I got to see them from literally, you know, five doors down from an announcement. That was cool. So I have a very positive feeling about just the business environment in general. Now, the entrepreneurial environment's a little bit different. I hear things from other entrepreneurs about, well, investors here don't just fund ideas. And I think, man, if you put yourself in their shoes, I mean, would I fund an idea that just sounds great?
I've got
with
a lot
no
of those.
Proof?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think of it from now that I've been on the road a little further with these investors and how they feel about their money and why they now being able to talk to them, why did you pick me? You could have picked somebody else. Why
sure.
did you pick
it's
me?
It's nice to get a peek behind that curtain. You
exactly.
got to earn your way behind there. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So now I have a different perspective on it. And I would say that you can earn, you know, you can. Number one, they want to see hard work. But I think anybody can do that if you have the right work ethic. But I think the entrepreneurial community here is strong. I think of it as like an ecosystem, though, and there's lots of different pieces to the pie. And are we weaker in some areas than others? Yes. Do we have enough money here to invest in small businesses or startups? Yes. Like, it's there.
That's an emphatic yes.
There's no question.
All right.
There's enough money in this community.
Okay.
Now, you can go the kind of friends and family fools route, which is just, hey, Dan, you're my buddy. You want to put some money in this? I mean, that's very common to get you started. But I think that, you know, the ecosystem here is strong. I think it's not perfect. I also think we must be realistic and say, if you were trying to compare us to San Francisco or New York
or Boston
Boston, yeah. It's not a fair comparison.
Sure.
It's not going to be.
What's missing?
Well, I think it's gotta be a series of successes over and over and over. To start to build up and compound on each other. I mean, if you really look at, you know, you've got to have the piece of the puzzle from the school training kids to write code if you're in the software world,
okay.
or training entrepreneurs. We have that in U of L.
Right.
I think you have to find someone who's successful, and they go, you know what? Somebody gave me a chance. I'm going to put my money that I just got from selling my business back in. And that's what, luckily, you know, two of my investors are the founders of Genscape. And they sold their company, and they turn around, and now they're investing in startups, and they put money in our company, and they are fantastic advisors to me. And I think that has to happen over and over and over. And so they invest in Todd Earwood, and hopefully I'm successful, and then I would turn around and invest. And I think there's that – if you start to snowball that, I mean, there are a lot of guys in Boston and New York and San Francisco that sold their companies, are flush with cash, and I'm talking real cash.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get it from a bank. So let's just throw that out right now. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to get it from an individual or a fund. Or you might go the route. I mean, a lot of people would tell you to go to doctors and lawyers because they don't know anything about business, and they'll just write checks.
Yeah.
High net worth individuals.
Sure.
I chose not to go that route because I wanted people who could help impact my business and help advise me.
Doctors and lawyers, they got money. And unless you're starting a business that's in their field, there's no expertise, there's no support, there's no sounding board that they could provide. So,
and I did take, you know, there's one dentist who invested in my company, and the difference is he runs a hell of a business. Like, he actually, if you sit down and talk to him, like, it's a machine what he has built. So I think there's exceptions to all those things, but I think the ecosystem's strong.
Good.
I think there's things.
The words of encouragement for people out there,
man,
who are like,
the
negative
Nancy's just wear me out. Like, that stuff wears me out because I was in those shoes where I wasn't funded and Rob and I were doing all these things. Like, one time, Rob and I each put $9,000 in. We hired a programmer to build some software. Before we could release it, Yahoo and Microsoft released virtually the same idea.
Oh, wow.
We folded up shop and that was it.
Ugh.
We lost $18,000.
Oh, that makes me sick.
Okay.
I didn't see that. That's why I'm sitting here and you're sitting there.
But we tried. And so when someone comes to me and they'll say, and this is why you'll hear it on Shark Tank, what'd you personally invest? I don't care how much time you put into it. What amount of your own money did you put behind it? So if you really believe in it, and that's why you don't see on LinkedIn, I'm doing anything else other than Try It Local. Like, it is my passion. It's what I want to do. I like helping small businesses grow. It's fun. I really enjoy it. But the commitment I made to my investors was nothing else.
Hmm.
Have I had other ideas since then? Oh, my gosh. All the time.
Right. I can't take a shower without, like, I got it.
What if I did this? Well, my commitment is to this idea, this company, and to my shareholders and to my employees to be successful. So I say that's fine. And ideas, I think, are also cheap because I think it's what you do with execution. So,
I say
give it a go.
Really, one of the questions, and I had it typed. Like, I typed out these questions.
That's
awesome.
I'm
like, what's a good question? I actually had it typed, and then I erased it. It's like, where do good ideas without execution go to die? Like, because are they floating around in the air waiting for somebody to pick them up? Because, you know, how do you answer that question? You can't answer that question.
I don't know where they are, but you'll see that on Shark Tank, too, where, you know, businesses will say, or, you know, idea guys or inventors, you'll see the sharks. What they'll say is, you go, that's a great idea. And you're not the guy to actually run the business.
Yeah.
So, awesome. I want to pay you for it. Go make a big fat paycheck right now. It's a one time, take it and go. And I guess I fancy myself more as an execution operator guy than I do just an idea guy now. But I think if you have ideas, just try. Just attempt. And you don't have to put $15,000 into it, or nine in that case, and just dump it in. Rob and I really wanted to give something a go. We said, let's really get behind something, and this was an idea. But I don't know where they go to die, but there's a ton of them out there, man. There's a ton of ideas out there.
And I mean, this kind of the purpose of this is to encourage people to learn from guys who have stepped across the line, gotten a peek behind the curtain or what have you, and you know, bootstrapped here and there and shuttered seven things and finally, you know, hit the nail on the head. So, you know, I think people will be bolstered, I think, by this conversation.
Well, I think you've got to watch out because it is tough. If you're on the island by yourself and you feel like you're alone and you have this idea and no one believes in it, man, that's okay. When I first told them I wanted to take on Groupon and use Chambers of Commerce, my friend said, that is stupid. That is dumb. You've had a lot of good ideas, but that's not one of them. And I went, okay, cool. I think you're wrong, but cool. Likewise, I've had the opposite. Man, because a lot of people do this, your friends and family, Dan, you're so smart.
Yeah, right.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
You should really do
that. I have three children that I've trained to. Daddy, you're a genius.
Well, that was
now
smart.
My 2-year old son, you know, he's really figured it out now.
But that's, I think, is you got to have some guts. But, you know, being, that's why I really like talking to entrepreneurs, because I was there and I am there to still today. And so I think being around, if you want to see what the, you know, the ecosystem is really like, is you come to events and you get involved in that stuff. You do not go read TechCrunch and VentureBeat. That stuff's not real. That is not what it's like.
It's entertaining.
It is entertaining, but it's not.
How else do I find out about what's new with Windows Phone?
That's right. Well, that stuff's fun stuff, but it's not about building a real business.
Yeah.
And they report on so-and-so sold their company for $160
right.
million. Awesome. That's not the norm. That's not even, you know, half of 1%. I mean, it's ridiculous. So that's why when you talk to early-stage investors, they'll tell you, look, I'm placing a lot of bets. The likelihood you die is pretty high.
And they go into that knowing that, too. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's kind of mind-boggling.
It really is,
yeah.
Which is why I do like people who either really understand early stage investment, they've done it a lot, or they did it themselves. They actually ran the company themselves. Because mm-hmm. then they totally understand the challenges you're with, they feel for you, and they support you. Otherwise, that's that empty check you might get. I mean, a lawyer's not going to know anything about what you're supposed to do to get, you know, what your customer acquisition cost and how are you going to scale SEM to get more people. They just don't know that. They can't. So... Mm-hmm. Dude, I say just give it a go. Find and get around other people that are like-minded and trying to do things, because it doesn't always mean tech. Like, I love talking to guys that create products, even though I'm not a product guy. Like, awesome, you invented something? Like, tell me about how that works. How do you get customers, and what problem did you solve? And
how much are people paying you for it?
All the things you see on Shark Tank. I mean, there's some of that stuff yeah. that's real, man. I mean, I'll be honest. There's certain things that when I've pitched investors, there's a lot that isn't real, but...
Do you watch Shark Tank?
Oh, every week. Every
do you?
Week. I don't know.
Is that a useful program to? I mean, is that a real world picture of kind of what this is like, or is it a little hyperbole?
If you have, it's not a direct correlation for me, because I think for tech companies, specifically software companies, it's very different. But if you have a product, it is I would say, and I don't have one, but I would say it's a very high percentage of accuracy of to what it's really like, because they do want to know what kind of distribution you have, what are sales. Okay, tech investors want to know that too. But I just find it super entertaining, and I think it's always interesting to see, like, how did you come up with it? A lot of the stuff you see on Shark Tank was, I had this problem and I was just so sick of staring at it, or I've always been baking and I've just been baking cakes and people liked them, and then I started asking, well, what would you pay for? I mean, that stuff is awesome. I love it. So I think it's super. I mean, compared to like when Trump used to do The Apprentice, the non-celebrity version, like that's nothing compared to what. I mean, Shark Tank's much more accurate.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's great.
Cool.
But I don't think for tech it's complete. You know, same thing.
And it's a little Shark Tank seems to me like it would be a niche program. That's on a network and it's drawing enough million viewers that mm-hmm. it's surviving, because that's how many ideas are out there in the world.
Bingo.
Because everybody's got one.
That's
they
exactly
just don't
right.
know what to do with it.
That's right.
So.
I think, you know, when you said that earlier, I thought my first thought in my head was, where do ideas go to die? And I said, unfortunately, I bet on so many deathbeds. There are just so many people that have regrets that think, I wish I had done this.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had left my middle management job at Big Corp USA and just tried it. And I would say, yeah, just try it. You don't have to mortgage your home and all that kind of stuff. I just think you can try on a small scale, and there's it's hard to manage, you know, a full-time job and do something on the side. Rob and I ran into that several times. That was hard. But it can be done. There's certain people that can figure it out.
Vaynerchuk figured it out.
Vaynerchuk, and he somehow is.
He wrote a book on it. Wrote the book on it, right?
He's still married and has a kid.
Yeah.
And so that's pretty impressive what he's been able to do. I mean, shocking what he's been able to do, really. But
I just dropped that name like.
Hey, you did.
Just were that like, familiar? Hey, Vaynerchuk.
I was
going to
say, like,
man.
He's going to walk down the hall. Hey, man, what's up, Gravy? So, yeah, I think I think, dude, being around smart people, but that is it. Everybody's got an idea. And I think that's exactly why the show's there's so many people right now sitting at home going, I have the perfect lawnmower, and I've hijacked my lawnmower. My lawnmower now does this. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, you solved a problem for yourself, or you wanted a better mousetrap. Cool. Mm-hmm. Now it does a better way than what Briggs & Stratton built it. Okay, great. Awesome, dude. Do something with it. And some people don't have that in them, though. They don't want to. They're like, you know what? I built it for me. I know a guy that's got two patents pending. Patents pending.
Plural, right?
Something, yeah. He has two patents. They're both pending. How's that? they're not fully patents. So he has invented two different products in totally different industries. And he views it as, he is very successful in his own business. That has nothing to do with products. But he's like, you know what? I know I've got something here. And a rainy day, and of course I say, you know, you watch Shark Tank, what you should do is license it. Let someone else take that. If you don't have the time or the money or the resources, let someone else. There's a ton of companies that do that.
The one that I keep thinking of is the guy who had his winery, and this was maybe last season or something. And he had developed this wine-to-go cup. With a cover. It was like sealed with foil.
Yeah.
And they wanted to license it and and sell it out to all these other wine. He's like, no. I want my wine in the cup. And they were falling all over themselves to give this guy money. But he would not budge off that. He believed in his product that was inside the cup more than he believed in the cup itself.
That's right. And they were saying, hey, that's cool, but
go ahead and sell your wine in a cup, but it's going to be right next to Kendall Jackson.
That's right.
Whatever.
Yeah, I love the idea of licensing if you have that, and especially if you don't want to. I mean, I wouldn't know where to begin if I had a product. How would I get that into stores? And how would I get packaging?
Let's wrap this up by telling people, where do they begin? I mean, call Todd Earwood. Follow him on Twitter.
Please don't call me.
Link him in.
You can link to me. It's fine. I think where to begin is I would go, depending upon where your idea, kind of what stage you're in, and we're speaking of Louisville here, I would go to the Small Business Development Center, SBDC, and I would go see Dave down there, and he's awesome, and his staff is awesome, and they can help you. And I'm talking, you're in the idea infant stage of your business. They would say, they would connect you. They've seen every great and crappy idea you can imagine come through those doors. And they would say, Dan, that's an interesting idea. They're not going to judge you if it's good or bad. They're going to go, they'll help you think through how you would build the company.
Okay.
How do you get it off the ground? And if you go to SBDC first, they go, holy crap, Dan, that's a great idea. And that has real legs to grow, I would probably send you to the right people.
Oh, good.
If it's high growth. Like, oh my gosh, that could go crazy. And you actually have a product and people are paying for it. They could connect you to the right places. I really think SBDC is a great starting spot. Like, it's probably not thought of as the first step for most people, but their job.
It's a government organization, is it not? I mean.
So what? I mean, their job
well,
is.
Well, the perception.
Well, here's the thing. The guy that's running it has three companies on his own right now.
So his proof is in the pudding.
He has three companies on his own, and he runs SBDC. And he runs SBDC because he wants to help.
Hmm.
And so he hired smart people to help him evaluate businesses that come through the door. The other place you can go that I'm not very familiar with that I've heard actually through Dave is Score.
Score, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. So you can go to Score. I would go to SBDC first, only because I have experience with SBDC.
Okay.
I don't have a personal experience with Score. If you go to SBDC and they think they can always refer you to somebody like Enterprise Corp, Bobby Ferrari, and Tendai, those guys are great, but they can't help every business because they're kind of looking in certain sectors and certain stage of the company with the growth. So that won't be a fit for everybody, but Dave can really help filter out where to go next.
Wise words from the man who's done it.
Yeah, SBDC. It's good.